Welcome to Friends Congregational Church Sermons. We are an open and affirming congregation of the United Church of Christ. No matter who you are or where you are on life's journey, you are welcome and you belong. I'm Carol Wilson, and I'll be introducing this week's sermon. One of the things I love most about Friends is that I can be myself when I walk through the door. I can bring my questions and my concerns, I can wear whatever I want, and I don't have to talk or present myself in a certain way. I'll be accepted just for who I am. I can breathe here. That's what I love the most. If you enjoy this podcast and would like to learn more about our ministries in College Station, Texas, take a look at our website, friends-ucc.org. For the fifth Sunday in Lent, we reflect on our reading from John chapter 12, verses 20 to 33, with our member in discernment, Kyle Riley.
Friends, our gospel reading for this morning comes from John chapter 12, verses 20 through 33. Now among those who went up to worship at the festival were some Greeks. They came to Philip, who was from Bethsaida in Galilee, and said to him, "Sir, we wish to see Jesus." Philip went and told Andrew. Then Andrew and Philip went and told Jesus. Jesus answered them, "The hour has come for the Son of Man to be glorified. Very truly, I tell you, unless a grain of wheat falls into the earth and dies, it remains just a single grain. But if it dies, it bears much fruit. Those who love their life lose it, and those who hate their life in this world will keep it for eternal life. Whoever serves me must follow me, and where I am, there will my servant be also. Whoever serves me, the Father will honor. Now my soul is troubled, and what should I say? Father, save me from this hour? No. It is for this reason that I have come to this hour. Father, glorify your name." Then a voice came from heaven, "I have glorified it, and I will glorify it again." The crowd standing there heard it and said that it was thunder. Others said, "An angel has spoken to him." Jesus answered, "This voice has come for your sake, not for mine." The word of God for the people of God. God is still speaking. Thanks be to God. Let us pray. Gracious and holy God, may the words of my mouth and the meditations of our hearts glorify you, O God. Amen. This week, myself and several others from our congregation traveled to the border to better understand what the situation is like for our migrant siblings seeking asylum in our country. We visited the asylum seekers in their makeshift camps outside the ports of entry. We spoke to several families waiting for their chance to come across. They'd given up everything that they had to escape the turmoil in their states, just for an opportunity to ask for asylum, without even the smallest guarantee that they would actually get to have their case heard by a judge in the U.S. We spent 3 days traveling around the region, meeting folks who saw a need in their communities and began to do something about it. We saw multiple types of organizations offering help to those folks at every step of their journey. From the moment they cross to their final hearings in immigration court, sometimes years later. Each organization that we met with told us about how they got started and why this work was important to them. The central theme was the same each place we visited. Someone, almost always a woman, by the way, saw that something was wrong in their community. A need was forming, and no one was stepping up to meet it. So they took it into their own hands gathered their friends and colleagues, and started doing everything they could to help these people. At one center we visited, Team Brownsville, the woman who started the center shared with us that they noticed so many people were gathering across the street outside of a local bus station, just 2 blocks away from the port of entry. This group of local school teachers started asking, why are folks here and what do they need? They quickly learned that once these migrants made it across, many asylum seekers did not have the funds or the knowledge of our systems to make it to their final destinations, sometimes states away where they had friends and family waiting for them. The women decided to help these folks by offering them whatever they could: help buying a bus ticket, a change of clothes, hotel-sized bottles of shampoo and conditioner, a toothbrush. As time went on, their operation grew, eventually leading them to rent out a small shop across the street to allow them to keep supplies on hand and to give migrants a place away from the South Texas heat while they waited for their turn to receive services. One of the most powerful things this team shared with us when we asked what people needed the most, what was the one thing that people would get the most out of, the answer was full-size toothpaste for kids. The woman who operates the center, Myra, said that the kids' faces lit up when they received them after such a long journey. The examples of love that we experienced this week go on and on. At each place we visited, the people were working tirelessly to support the folks in need at each step of their journey. None of the organizations we met with offering refuge and support to these people were some trained organizers who had set out with these intentions of changing lives. Each one was drawn to show love to the people surrounding them. When I was a teenager, realizing that I was trans, I started looking for community in my rural area. I found a support group for queer folks, specifically those struggling with their gender identities and needing support for their newly realized identity. The group met about an hour away from my house every Wednesday evening. For 3 years, I drove back and forth every week to spend sometimes just an hour with these folks. When I joined that group, I did not know any other trans people. I was looking for a community that understood me, that could go along with me in my journey, and to find people who knew me as my whole self and loved me not in spite of it, but because they saw all of me and were not afraid. I found people in all different stages of their lives, in their journey with their gender, and from all kinds of backgrounds and walks of life. Sometimes we stumbled, but together we formed a community that nourished each other's souls, that intentionally cultivated a community that had not existed before. We developed one another to share the love we found in this group with a world that did not often show us love like that. By the time I found the group, they had been meeting for about 10 years. Sandra, a local trans veteran, started the support group in 2007 when she got tired of driving to Albuquerque or Dallas for support group meetings as her and her wife navigated the changes after she came out. They were looking for community, for understanding from people who knew what it was like to struggle with your gender identity, to have a spouse transition, somewhere they could be known and be safe to be themselves. After meeting so many other trans people, Sandra realized that more trans people probably existed in Amarillo. So she created a space where they could come and meet. 15 years later, that group is still going strong, having grown from Sandra and a handful of trans guys into a group of over 300 who provide not only support group meetings, but host community events, advocate for trans rights at a local level, and are a visible sign of welcome in a place that is so often hostile towards our community. The gospel that we read this morning, the gospel according to John, is very different from the other three gospels, Matthew, Mark, and Luke. While those three tend to be more historical, focused on the retelling of events in the life of Jesus and his ministry, John is focused on what Jesus' life and ministry means for us. John is sometimes called the spiritual gospel because of this difference. John wants to convince us of something, that Jesus is the Messiah, and everything Jesus did in his life was leading up to his death on the cross and his resurrection with us. John tells Jesus' life story from the moment he was recognized by John the Baptizer to his return to the disciples after his death. John tells us these events in a systematic, chronological order, laying out the story for us so clearly to get that message across. At the same time, John focuses on Jesus' life. He is also telling us the story of a cosmic battle where Jesus is present in the before, the chaos that God reorders at creation, and then Jesus comes to earth to conquer evil and returns to God in heaven. Reflecting on this passage, Reverend Dr. Cheryl Lindsay with the National UCC says this: "The gospel, according to John, devotes nearly half of its contents to the events and teachings that take place during what has become known as Holy Week, including the Last Supper, priestly prayer for unity, and the trial. The recounting of the crucifixion itself merits only one chapter and is fairly sanitized in terms of the brutality of the execution. John intentionally de-emphasizes the suffering because his attention is on the glory. The crucifixion was the falling to the ground, which was necessary for the seed leading to new life to be planted." John and the early church are concerned with life on earth. Their understanding of the return of Jesus was not to come down and sweep up all believers to escape earth. No, the prevailing hope of Jesus' imminent return was about redeeming and restoring earth as the kingdom of God. The passage we read today takes place in the week before Passover. People are beginning to gather in the city for the holy feast, and some of those gathered ask the disciples if they can see Jesus. We learn from the text that the people asking are some Greeks that are given little other description, and while scholars are not confident about who these people might have been, many argue that Jesus is pointing to the expansion of the good news that will happen at this hour that is upon us. That is to say, Jesus knows that his time is coming to an end. And he is reminding the disciples that it is not an exclusionary group that they are growing. The mission of the disciples is to bring the good news to everyone, to create the community for all who follow Christ. Humanity responds to this calling today by creating community in spaces that are hostile to people that are different from the status quo. My initial reading of this text made me think about some of the differences between people, and I was drawn toward the separation made in the passage of some Greeks and the Jews that John uses. However, upon my reflections from the text, the stories that I set out to write about that topic turned into beautiful stories of people showing up with love and letting it lead their actions. By letting love lead them, they created communities where people who were set aside can thrive, however that might look in their situation. We, as disciples in our time, have a responsibility to welcome, without exclusion, into the love that Christ has revealed to us. The image that I chose for the front of our bulletins today not only serves the purpose of making our bulletins look really pretty, it also informed my reflection on the passage. In her statement about this piece, Drawn to Love, Hannah Garrity says this: "I love borders. I place them in my artwork so that I can break them. They set up a reiteration of balance. They allow for a secondary or tertiary focal point. They introduce a conversation. In this image, the border allows for variation in the foreground and separation in the sky. The wheat breaks through the border. The horizon continues past the border. What are the metaphors within this imagery? People are drawn to Jesus, drawn to love. I portray God's voice with clouds, the clouds of thunderstorms. As they move upward towards the heavens, they become wheat and doves. The image incorporates a border representing the loving constraints that Jesus' ministry places on our lives and choices. What would Jesus do? Jesus would love. The wheat grows beyond the border of life. The wheat brings forth a standard of daring love. Those who love their life lose it. The wheat breaks the border. It dances with the voice of God. It is not cautious. It is not scarce. It is love." End quote. During our time at the border this week, we also met with an officer from Border Patrol. He shared with us lots of interesting information about the fencing being put up, the fencing that was put up in the early 2000s, the fencing put up in the last 8 years, and the new fencing that the state of Texas is installing as part of Operation Lone Star. We spent so much time talking about the borders we created to separate ourselves here in the U.S. from those directly across the fence in Mexico. At one point, the officer commented that during the installation of that first fence in the early 2000s, they were replacing markers that were put in across the region as the river bent this way and that. As they went through this process, they noticed that many of these border markers were pretty far off, some sitting far into Mexico or hundreds of feet into the U.S. past the river. We heard stories of folks in the area who shared concerns about the people migrating in, as their family were locals to the region for more than 7 generations. We quickly realized that those families had been in the area since before that land was even separated from Mexico. And the creation of that Texas border, they were so now concerned about that people would cross. To many of the people living in the Rio Grande Valley, the border is a fluid thing. They cross sometimes daily to go to work, to go to school, to shop, to eat, and to return to their families on either side. The organizations that work to help those in need cross with food and supplies, they provide medical care. They show unfailing love to one another in a place that is so easily set up to discourage such actions. I found this description particularly helpful because it reminded me so aptly of the stories that the text brought to me to share. The wheat breaks the border. The wheat grows beyond the border of life. The wheat breaks forth from a standard of daring love. We are the single grains being cultivated nourished, and developed. Drawn to love in Christ, to share in the kingdom community. If you had asked me or most of the other folks in that support group if God was present, the answer would likely have been no. God does not come into these spaces. God is not for us. That answer is understandable, given that so many of the people in that group have been deeply hurt by faith, and that those wounds are still too open to touch. While I'm now sure that God was there, I'm also sure that the people I met were filled with a love that radiated through them and into everyone that they met. I was drawn to that love. They gave me a renewed sense of faith in humanity. Their determination to cultivate community where there was none. Their dedication to helping others through. That was the closest I'd felt to a loving God in ages. Theologist Rene Padilla, most noted for his work in the Church on Integral Mission, in a collection of his essays on the kingdom, says this: "The gospel of Jesus Christ is a personal one. It is also a cosmic message. It is not a personal message per se, but to the individual as a member of humanity, marked by sin and death, whom God calls to be integrated into the new humanity in Christ, marked by righteousness and eternal life. A misunderstanding of this leads inevitably to a misunderstanding of the mission of the church. The result is an evangelism that regards the individual as a self-contained unit, whose salvation takes place exclusively in terms of a relationship with God. We must see that the purpose of resurrection life with God is in the here and now. The good news of this text is that Christ's resurrection is not something that is only available to us in the afterlife. Christ tells us that the hour is upon us. And as followers, we get to experience the glory of resurrection in the here and now. That good news allows us to act with love, co-creating with God a world that is the renewed heaven on earth. God does not want humans to be alone. And God is not concerned with the singular salvation of people, but with the salvation and the renewal of the whole of God's people.
We hope you've enjoyed this week's message. If you're in the area of College Station, Texas, you're welcome to join us for worship at 9 and 11 a.m. Central Time on Sundays. The 11 a.m. service is also live streamed on our YouTube channel, Friends Congregational Church, UCC. Our mission is to be united by the example of Jesus to live faithfully, love limitlessly, and serve boldly. If you would like to support us, we have a Venmo for easy donations of any amount at FriendsUCC, no dashes, no spaces. To find out what's happening in the week ahead at Friends, visit our website, friends-ucc.org, and subscribe to our weekly newsletter by contacting us at office@friends-ucc.org. We will keep you up to date with programs to deepen your spirituality, opportunities to get involved with the church, and we'll connect you to acts of service to the wider community. Our worship has ended, and now our service begins. Thank you for listening.